This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. 13 years of sanctions against Iraq are coming to an end today. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations John Negroponte praised the 15-member Security Council's vote in favor of the U.S.-backed resolution giving control of the now war-ravaged nation to the perpetrators of that war, the U.S. and Great Britain.
The lifting of sanctions marks a momentous event for the people of Iraq. It is the turning of a historical page that should brighten the future of a people and a region.
America and Britain will administer Iraq until a local government can be set up. That resolution was drafted by the U.S. and co-sponsors Britain and Spain just last week and had undergone three revisions before being voted on today at U.N. headquarters in New York. That vote was 14-0, with Syria abstaining, saying it hadn't had time to study the document. The trial of more than 20 suspected al-Qaeda members has started today in Belgium. Those suspects accused of plotting to bomb American targets in Europe and of being involved in the killing of an anti-Taliban leader. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The trial of Tunisians, Nizar Trabelsi and Tarek Marifi, along with 21 other suspects, is the first terror-related prosecution in Belgium since the September 11th attacks. Trabelsi and 11 alleged accomplices are accused of planning an attack early last year on a Belgian airbase where about 100 U.S. military personnel work. It's also believed to hold tactical nuclear warheads. Trabelsi is also suspected of involvement in a plot to blow up the U.S. embassy in Paris. Marifi is the second key suspect on trial. He's accused of leading a phony passport ring linked to the September 2001 killing of Afghan militia leader Ahmed Shah Massoud. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
And the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks is opening hearings today on Capitol Hill. That panel authorized by Congress to independently investigate pre-September 11th intelligence failures. Senator John McCain, one of the first witnesses, the Arizona Republican, testifying the terrorist attacks, quote, represented a massive failure in the most fundamental duty of our government, the security of the American people. No word if President Bush will be asked to testify regarding what and when he knew about the possibility of a massive terrorist attack against America.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it. Wherever you are, Allivert, use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Flight attendants for Northwest Airlines are voting now on if they'll replace the Teamsters with another union. Teamsters trustee Molly Riley, though, says the flight attendants need the union now more than ever, since Northwest has proposed yet another round of job and wage cuts. A rise in first-time jobless claims last week is being blamed on devastating tornadoes that ripped through the Midwest and southern portions of the U.S. Labor Department shows initial applications for state unemployment benefits rose by 7,000 to 428,000 for the week ending May 17th.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative. Look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
Just one day after independent investigators released a report on how they believe a rescue mission could have saved the crew of the space shuttle Columbia, the head of NASA agrees. More from reporter Linda Witt.
NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe is the latest to come forward to say he would have tried to save the crew of the space shuttle Columbia if he had more information about how much danger they were in. Now, according to broadcast reports, O'Keefe says he didn't know enough about what happened during the doomed orbiter's January 16th launch to suggest a rescue mission. A report released yesterday by an independent panel working with the Columbia Accident Investigation Board state that if NASA knew what had happened to the shuttle, it's feasible that another craft could have been launched to save the crew. In Orlando, I'm Linda Witt.
And the investigation into an explosion at the Yale University Law School yesterday afternoon continues today. Blast happened inside a first-floor classroom, damaging two rooms, and there were no injuries, however. Investigators say they are sure so far that blast was deliberate. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News. We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheel vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, channel 145. Now, standard equipment in Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, Mini, Volkswagen, Jeep, and Jaguars, and many other cars and trucks. And streaming live on the Internet from www.ieamericaradio.com and rebroadcast on radiopower.org from 5 to 7 p.m. Welcome to our program today. We have a lot of stuff to cover. The chat room is open. If you go to tomhartman.com and click on the link to the radio show and then click on the link to the chat room, we have that figured out, up, open, and in front of us. There's two folks in there right now. In fact, hello to Gepster and Satrich, I think. You have to pick a screen name to get in there. And we've got some email here, our topic for this hour in to start this out, to set it up, is the growing income gap in America dangerous to democracy? And this is one of the, I think this is one of the really big issues that we need to be confronting. It's one of the really substantial issues in front of us. It was in the paper today that last night, President Bush raised $22 million by speaking to 7,500 people. And the question in my mind is, first of all, this is a mind-boggling amount of money, and it demonstrates that he can raise $22 million in a night. He raised $100 million during the 2000 campaign cycle, and he's saying he's going to raise $200 million during this cycle in actual hard spendable money. And I was looking for the stats on the various Democratic challengers right now. I'm quite sure that all of them together have probably only raised, you know, a few million dollars. I know Howard Dean is in the neighborhood of $1 million. And this is $22 million in one night. What did those people think they would get for that money? What would motivate somebody? What would motivate 7,500 people to give any politician $22 million? Well, I think we can look into that and dig into that a little bit. I think some fascinating stuff there. A little later on, we want to get into the Jessica Lynch controversy, some interesting new revelations there, and something that probably you haven't heard about, even if you've been following the BBC report and all these things, that we picked up at this convention of right-wing talk show hosts last weekend. And speaking of which, I received an email this morning from Dave, who says Michael Savage, another one of the right-wing talk hosts, has sued a group. See, This is what some folks do if they don't like what people say about them. They sue them. They try to stop the conversation. Rather than maintaining a conversation, it's shut it down. There's a website called SavageStupidity.com, www.SavageStupidity.com. And the people who own this thing are being sued, and they're out there asking for support. It's an interesting website, some interesting content on there, so I'll pass that along to you. We have, I received an email from the Patriotic Citizens for the Defense of American Values. I've been looking around the web this morning trying to figure out if this is a real group or if this is a pastiche. This seems to have Betty Bowers written all over it. The folks who put together the www.whitehouse.org website. But maybe not. Maybe it's real. I signed up at the Republican National Committee website, and I've signed up for a couple of Republican various, you know, factoid things, and to get my weekly talking points as a talk show host from the Republican Party. And so I'm starting to get email addressed to Dear Fellow Republican. And this one, sure enough, is addressed Dear Fellow Republican. And it says, because claims continue to grow that Vice President Cheney knew about and allowed the September 11, 2001 attacks for political and strategic gain, the Republican Party needs your moral and financial support more than ever. Liberals are spreading over 100 accusations that our Vice President of the United States of America knew about and allowed the 9/11 attacks. Fellow Republicans, we recommend not directly addressing all the details spouted by liberals in their bleeding heart press. During a recent prayer meeting here at Patriotic Citizens for the Defense of American Values, deep inspiration and humility moved us to develop a special answer to the mounting liberal propaganda. We call our answer the Daisy Cutter Moab Rebuttal. Moab is the acronym for Mother of All Bombs. This is their rebuttal. And here it is. This is the Daisy Cutter Moab Rebuttal. Quote, even if Vice President Cheney allowed the attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon, he did so for the good of the nation. Franklin Roosevelt did this when he allowed the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor so the United States could join the war against the axis of evil of that era. End quote. And then they say, because liberals love Franklin Roosevelt so much, this answer shuts them up quickly. They go on to point out, only a true leader can make the toughest decisions in order to lead his nation to its destined greatness. Even if our president allowed the attacks of 9/11, this proves Bush is an even bigger hero for allowing Vice President Cheney to make such a tough, necessary decision. We elect our leaders to lead, not flirt and carry on with interns. It was President Bush's amazing post-9/11 leadership that unleashed the American people to free others around the world, including oppressed women in Afghanistan and Iraqi victims of Saddam Hussein. You can help. Our views will win over liberal propaganda regardless of their so-called evidence. Please donate to the Republican Party to protect the truth from the snooping eyes of the unrighteous liberals. Thank you, Patriotic Citizens for the Defense of American Values. And then they go on. They have a list of the liberal lies and the responses, the facts that you should use to rebut them. This is fascinating. Liberal lie number one. In October 24th through the 26th of 2000, detailed drills were held in the Pentagon practicing response in case an airliner crashed into the Pentagon building. Fact. If God inspired the planners at the Pentagon to prepare for an attack on their building nearly 1 year before the 9/11 attacks, they should be commended, not cast into suspicion. Liberal lie number two. Field FBI agents in Arizona notified their superiors of information about hijackers using planes as suicide bombs, but the superiors didn't act on this information. Fact. The FBI management cannot act on every wild claim made by field agents. Here's liberal lie number four. A United States Air Force intelligence colonel at the Monterey Language Institute of the U.S. Intelligence School told his class, quote, Bush is a joke. He knew about 9/11 and let it happen, end quote. He was forced to resign. Fact, though this did happen, similar outbursts by military personnel about gays in the military occurred under President Clinton. Those critical officers also resigned. Liberal lie number seven. Ashcroft and some other government officials did not fly commercial flights in the weeks leading up to 9/11 for fear of being on a hijacked plane. Fact, this is the conservative response. Ashcroft and others, as citizens of the United States of America, are free to choose any method of transportation within their means and legal rights. They stopped flying commercial airplanes for scheduling reasons and because of their heavy workload. And it goes on. It's fascinating stuff. and thought I would share that with you. I'm still baffled. A quote from General MacArthur that Henry Stetter sent to me. He says, "The government has kept the people in a perpetual state of fear, kept the people in a continuous stampede of patriotic fervor with the cry of grave national emergency. Always there has been some terrible evil at home or some monstrous foreign power that was going to gobble the country up if we did not blindly rally behind it." General Douglas MacArthur. I'm curious about the context of that. If you, if anybody knows it, I would love to know where and when he said that. We've got a few other things here. Let's get back to them a little later on. I want to dig into this topic here. What's going on? What this $22 million that Bush raised last night? You know, and God bless him. If a political candidate can get out there and raise money in these days, it seems like they should be able to do it. If that's the kind of country that we want. If that's the kind of nation and republic that we want, if that's the kind of system that we want in the United States, is it where corporate interests, vested interests, buy politicians? Is that what we want? I was in England a couple of months ago, and members of parliament, when they stand for election, are only allowed to spend a certain amount of money. I asked several people how much it was. Three people told me it was £100,000 per election cycle, which is, I guess, every 2 years. Somebody else said it was £150,000. I don't have the definitive answer, but it's a limited amount. And that's all they can spend. And by limiting the spending of the politicians, there's no need for them to take contributions beyond that, and they don't end up in the pockets of special interests, particularly corporate special interests. Here we have in today's Wall Street Journal, some interesting things about the dividend cut. The folks who will benefit from this, of course, are the folks who are donating that $22 million to George Bush last night. They point out that, quote, roughly half of all dividends go to shareholders that don't pay U.S. income taxes, such as college endowments, pension plans, and foreigners. So first of all, it's kind of a specious argument. Secondly, roughly one-third of all dividends are paid from profits on which corporate taxes have never been paid because of tax breaks or companies exploiting tax loopholes. So a third of all corporate dividends, a dividend, by the way, a dividend is the money that a corporation pays to its stockholders out of its profits. Here's how it works. Let's say that we all got together, all of you folks listening to this program and me, and we started a company, and we'll call it the Acme Widget Company, and we all split up the stock evenly, and the company runs for a year, and it shows a profit. So let's say it's got a $1 million profit, and we've got 100,000 stockholders. So that's $10 per shareholder in profit. Now, a certain amount of that profit we're going to roll back into future operations. We're going to say, well, next year, you know, we're going to build even more widgets. We need to build a new factory. So we're going to take part of that $1 million. We're going to take, say, you know, $500,000 of that, and we'll invest that in other things. Whatever is left over after we've decided what part of our profits we're going to reinvest, whatever's left over is declared as profit, and we pay a corporate income tax on it. Unless we are in the energy industry, like the oil industry or the nuclear power industry, in which case there are billions, tens of billions of dollars of tax loopholes that allow us to shelter our profit. The oil depreciation tax, there's just a whole long list of them. They're huge. And that's why they say a third of all, the Wall Street Journal today says a third of all dividends are on profit on which no tax was paid. So, but let's say that we're one of those two-thirds of companies. We're a small or medium-sized company, so we don't use these huge tax breaks that are available to the very large companies. And so we've got this money left over. Well, we pay a tax on it, a corporate income tax, which, as I recall, is 35% right now. And although it varies depending on the amount of the income, I think it caps out at 35. And then after we've paid that tax, we distribute that income, that profit, what's left of that profit, to our stockholders. So everybody who owns a share gets a few dollars. So this is how dividends get passed out and spread around. And then the people receiving that's a way that they make their income. We'll dig into this a little bit deeper right after this break. Stick around with us. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I hear something saying,
Chain Gang.
And you're with the Tom Hartman Program, the Chain Gang, here where democracy is still alive and well. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We've got a full crowd in the chat room off TomHartmann.com. Go to the radio show link and then click on the chat room. And a couple of nice comments there. Thank you. Carfree 911, he says, seems like we're heading for a depression. There's a discussion going on here. Former Rush fan, I really appreciate how Tom explains things without having to dumb it down. Carfree 911, he says, I hope IE America continues to grow and improve. And former Rush fan says, IE America, if it was public, I'd buy stock. And it's great. Thank you all for joining our little corner of cyberspace and the radio world here. It's great to see you. And during the breaks, I will be reading that. So if there's anything you want me to say on the air, you can just, you know, say so, and I'll do it within the bounds of George Carlin's seven words. Anyhow, back to dividend cuts. Dividends are the money that corporations pass out to their stockholders after they've paid taxes on them. It's corporate profit. So let's say that we've got the situation. Well, let's even take a simpler one. My wife and I, Louise, started an advertising agency in Atlanta in 1987 when we came back from Germany. And it's called Chandler MacDonald Stout Schneiderman and Poe. I named it after my favorite writers. And its main business is doing publications for other companies, for Sony and Scientific Atlanta and Holiday Inns. And it's called, and they do business as the Newsletter Factory. And we sold this business 7 years ago to one of our employees, but we kept 10% of the stock. And so if that company was to declare profits, which typically small companies don't do, small companies never pay dividends. This is purely something for big corporations and big investors. But if it was to, just as an example, if I was still working for that company, and let's say that they were going to pay me $10,000 for my efforts for the year, and I say, well, you know, I'd really rather have that money as a dividend. So if Tondra, the woman who owns 90% of the company, was to take $90,000 and I was to take $10,000, on that $10,000, if I took it as a paycheck, I would have to pay, you know, what is it, 17-18% in FICA. The company would have to pay a matching amount for the FICA. I'd have to pay up to 38% income tax. But if I take it as a dividend under this new Bush tax proposal, I would only have to pay a 15% tax. There would be no payroll tax. There would be no income tax, just a 15% tax. And 2 years from now, I would pay nothing. No tax at all. I would get that money free. Now, here's the gotcha for those of you who own small companies are thinking, hey, this is cool. I mean, anybody can go out and start a corporation tomorrow. You can incorporate. It costs $300-$400 in pretty much whatever state you're in to incorporate. There's a company, the company corporation that does it in Delaware. I've started corporations through them. You can create a corporation, and your corporation can show a profit. In other words, instead of working for somebody, you say, hey, hire my corporation, and my corporation will pay me. And then instead of taking a paycheck, you pay yourself dividends, and now you're only paying 15% tax instead of the total 30, 40, 50% tax that working people have to pay. It seems like that would work, but the problem is that if a small business tries to do that, then the IRS comes in and says, you're evading paying income tax. We won't allow you to do that. But if a big business does that, if Jack Welch, when he was running General Electric, took his millions, and in fact, you'll find most as stock and as dividends rather than as income, he would be able to avoid taxes. And in fact, most of them do. Congress passed a law about 6 or 8 years ago that capped the amount of income payroll that a CEO could be paid at $1 million. And anything above that is not tax deductible to the company. So most CEOs only make $1 million. And then they make all their other millions in dividends. And now we're going to slash the taxes on this. This is why these folks showed up and handed George Bush $22 million. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute.
Strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is the Tom Hartmann Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Oh.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The governor of Saipan, a U.S.-controlled Pacific island, ordered five garment factories closed this week over violations of labor, health, and safety laws. Saipan has long attracted clothing retailers because its minimum wage and labor laws are less stringent than those in the U.S. mainland. Earlier this year, more than two dozen U.S. retailers, including The Gap, Target, and JCPenney, settled a lawsuit charging that Saipan's manufacturers held workers in virtual slavery while violating wage, overtime, and safety rules.
There may be a deal in the nine-month standoff between British firefighters and the British government. The Executive Council of the Fire Brigades Union is recommending approval of a tentative new one-year contract that guarantees a 16% pay increase phased in between now and July of 2004. It's not quite the 40% raise the firefighters initially wanted, but the government has dropped so-called modernization requirements, which the union suspected would lead to job cuts and station closures and helped spark 15 days of strikes. In exchange, the union and government will negotiate any changes to the fire services personnel structure, with those talks scheduled to begin later this year. A general conference of the Fire Brigades Union will take place in a week and a half, and there, representatives from every UK firehouse will vote on the deal's fate.
An outbreak of severe acute respiratory syndrome helped push Hong Kong's unemployment level to an all-time high of 7.8% last month. More than a quarter million of the city's 3.5 million workers were left jobless as fears over SARS decimated business in the retail, restaurant, and travel industries. Many Hong Kong economists are now predicting unemployment will climb above 8%, and other Asian economies such as Taiwan, Singapore, and Malaysia report similar SARS-related spikes in joblessness as well.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast from north to south on the IE America Radio Network, on the Sirius satellite and on terrestrial radio stations from the west coast to the east coast. In our chat room right now, we've got a whole bunch of folks in there, and Carfree911 said, Tom, how would you downsize or restructure the economy to the benefit of individuals, democracy, society, and the environment? We have a guest in just a moment I'd like to share that question with, because I think that he has some very, very good answers for it. First, though, Tony's been very patiently waiting on the line in Washington, D.C. You wanted to mention school proms in Georgia, Tony. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, according to the L.A. Times. Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. This is by Jeffrey Scott Shapiro, mm-hmm. a law student. He's talking about that the Johnson County High School in Wrightsville, Georgia, decided not to have a prom, but their parents decided to have a segregated prom for them.
Why?
And yeah. I'm just looking at this, and I'm saying, you actually have parents passing on this type of attitude to the next generation?
Yeah, and it's not just limited to the South. Louise and I lived in Georgia, in Atlanta, for about 15 years. We lived in New Hampshire. We've lived in Michigan. We live in Vermont right now. We lived in Germany for a year. And I can tell you, everywhere you go in the world, Tony, you're going to find bigots. You're going to find people who, as you well know, I'm sure. It's just particularly bizarre that I agree that parents would perpetuate this. It's a tragedy.
Yeah, somebody would actually initiate that and say, excuse me, we want to go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
As a sign of just saying that we dislike another race.
It's wrong, and it deserves condemnation. Tony, thank you for the call. I appreciate your taking the time to call into the program. Our guest in this segment is Chuck Collins. Chuck is co-founder and program director of United for a Fair Economy. And Chuck has a remarkable background. And in addition to being the co-founder and program director of UFE, which is a national nonpartisan organization that draws attention to the dangerous consequences of growing income and wealth inequality in the United States, he co-founded Responsible Wealth. And he's the author and co-author of a bunch of different books, including Economic Apartheid in America, Shifting Fortunes, and co-author of Robin Hood Was Right, A Guide to Giving Your Money for Social Change. Chuck Collins, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, good to be with you, Tom.
Thank you. Chuck, one of our listeners was asking this question, how would we downsize or restructure the economy to benefit individuals and democracy more and these multinational corporations and the super wealthy less? Perhaps before you answer that, you might want to talk about what is the situation right now in the United States with regard to the growing gap? Our question for the hour actually is the growing income gap in America dangerous to democracy?
Well, I think that the title of that one book you mentioned, Economic Apartheid, sort of describes it, that as a society, we are pulling apart. The gap between rich and poor, the gap between rich and everyone else is widening. Mm-hmm. And, it's really a 20-year trend that is kind of bringing us into what you could almost think of as the second Gilded Age. 100 years ago, we had this Gilded Age, the great robber baron fortunes, great inequalities. Right. And here we are. We're now entering into that second phase.
What's the evidence of that? Do you have
well,
some...
Well, there's both what's happening at the very top, meaning that the growing concentration of wealth and income and power in the hands of a very few, people in the top 1% and even in the top sliver of the top 1%. So that's one piece. And then I think you can look at what's happening to the sort of middle class lifestyle and experience. And there we see people working longer hours, real wages stagnating or falling, people unable to save, declining home ownership and savings rates for certain segments of society. And so it's... And I'm here in Boston, but down the road we have Newport, Rhode Island, which is the home of these enormous Newport mansions, and that's sort of the evidence or the leftovers of the first Gilded Age. And I think we're starting to see these new monuments to the current Gilded Age.
Yeah, Chuck, I think you're right. I wrote a book that has a few rants on this, and there's some statistics just real quickly, just for our listeners, I think. At the same time that the concentration of wealth has taken place over the last three decades, the entry-level wage of an American male high school graduate has declined 28% in the last 30 years in real dollars. 20% of American workers now earn income below the official poverty rate defined by the U.S. government, and that does not include the unemployed. The top 1% of Americans in 1998 terms of income equaled the lowest wage earning 100 million Americans. And there are only 140 million working Americans, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And the top 20% of American families have seen their income go up by 97% in the past two decades. Meanwhile, the bottom 20% fell 44% in their real income, although most were working harder, working longer hours, and many carried multiple jobs. So,
and I think that looks at the income piece, and then
right.
If you look at wealth, there's a whole other piece of the story, wealth in terms of savings and investments that 25 years ago, the top 1%, that wealthiest 1% of households, which today is average wealth is about $3 million, their share of the pie was about 20% of the wealth pie. And today their share has grown to about 40% of the wealth pie. So that's and concentrations of wealth really translates into concentrated power, the power to buy legislators.
And those who have that power, those on the right would say in response to what you and I have been saying, Chuck, they would say, but it's my money. I earned that money. How dare you say you're going to take that money away from me? What's your response?
Well, it's interesting because we started this Responsible Wealth Project, and now we have hundreds of people who are in that top 5%, top 1% of households who say,
mm-hmm.
you know, I worked hard. Yes, I may have come up with a good idea. I may have leadership skills that have helped build an enterprise. But I would be nowhere if I didn't do business in a country that has the fertile ground that the United States has for wealth creation. That,
right.
The society's investments and my coworkers' efforts are part of why I'm wealthy. You know, if you pick me up and
right.
drop
so you're,
me
you're
into
talking to the responsible wealthy, which I would say is a very small percentage of the of those who certainly of the very wealthy who have taken over the Republican Party and are pushing this these dividend tax cuts and tax cuts for the rich. How in it, the way, my response to the irresponsible wealthy and you know the that top 1% who or higher who are saying, well, you know, it's just, you know, how dare they take any of my money, is this isn't, you know, and Sean Hannity's thing about, you know, he'll start with a Democratic congressman and he'll say, so you went to Congress today to figure out how to take more of my money, eh? And my response is, if you live in this society, then by contract, we have a social contract that we're going to pay for the commons. We're going to pay for our police services. We're going to pay for our fire services. We're going to pay for our sewage. We're going to pay for the things that make for a better quality of life. We're going to pay to take care of the people who can't take care of themselves. We're going to pay to take care of the people who need institutionalization or mental hospitals. If we don't, they're going to end up on the streets and ruin our quality of life anyway. So if you want to look at it in a very selfish way, but we're all agreeing to pay for that. And that agreement means that some of your money isn't really all your money, that actually some of it is our collective money.
No, absolutely. And
does that make sense?
I think one of the, you know, that's the sort of responsible wealth message is, hey, you know, I didn't get here on my own, and as a member of a society, I don't live on an island, you know.
And I agree.
My good fortune is a function of lots of other people's efforts and the taxpayer who has sort of been maybe my
and the infrastructure of this nation, which has to be paid for. Chuck Will in Atlanta wants to add to the conversation. Will, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello, Will.
Hey, Will.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Tom?
What's up? Yeah.
Well, just any time we talk about economic history in America, particularly with the maldistribution of wealth that we're
mm-hmm.
witnessing, we really kind of beg the question if we don't focus on the fact that in 1870s Cleveland, Ohio, which was then the center of the world's oil industry,
right.
Rockefeller created Standard Oil through murder and arson. There were 28 refineries, and in over a period of 8 weeks, there were only 4 refineries left. And the people who didn't sell out to the Standard Oil cartel either wound up on their doorstep dead on Monday morning, or the refineries were burned out. I went to an elite university. I had a professor of economics, antitrust economics, tell that to an entire class, 200 people in the seminar.
Right.
And, I mean, this is just a fact. I mean, he was from Cleveland. He got into antitrust economics. He's an expert, appeared before the Supreme Court. And that's how they built Standard Oil. This has been corroborated.
Sure. There's a lot of histories out there of John Rockefeller and Standard Oil. I don't know the specific details that you've cited there, but there's actually a lot of them in some of my writings, and they're all over the place.
Well, that pyramid now embraces the entire Bush dynasty, including Prescott, and and the Council on Foreign Relations. So we're getting our mind conditioned by a false elite that is part of this enslavement process, where through, I mean, in civil discourse, cognitive dissonance, we don't want to talk about such unpleasant subjects, but the fact
right.
of the matter is these people are criminals, and it's based on murder and arson, and if we don't address that, we're never going to have the moral authority to wrench these people off of our pockets and our necks.
Well said, Will, and I appreciate your call. And I would add that even if they don't resort to murder and arson, there's a problem here. Thanks for dropping by our radio home. Chuck Collins with United for a Fair Economy. Chuck, by the way, what's the website if people want to get more information?
We are at www.faireconomy.org.
Faireconomy.org, great.
You'll find a lot of stuff there on the current tax bill and a number of other issues that are timely.
So what's up with this tax bill, Chuck? Is this, Chuck Collins, is this just a payback to the people who last night gave $22 million to George Bush?
Well, actually, I think that's probably the best way to understand it, because it's not going to generate jobs. It's not going to stimulate the economy in a meaningful way.
But wait a minute. He's giving 300 and some odd billion dollars back to the very wealthy. Don't you think that those people are going to, I mean, you know, $350 billion to create a million jobs, that's $350,000 per job. Don't you think that all the rich people in America who get $350,000 can create one job?
It's possible, but I would say if we were going to
hire a pool man,
do an experiment and spend that kind of money to stimulate the economy, there's about 25 other things that we as a society could have done or could do that would be much more effective. It's really not about that. It's about shrinking government. It's about a conservative agenda to starve the public sector and starve public investment.
Right. Cut off the oxygen to government. So, Chuck, what do we do about this? What you know, getting back to the question that I don't remember, it was a former Rush fan or 911 No Car, one of our screen names in our chat room here, Free Car 911, had asked, how do we create a society that is, on the one hand, fair and equitable and provides a reasonable quality of life, and ensures and promotes democracy, and on the other hand, doesn't look like socialism?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. I talked to a group the other night, a retired men's club in a suburban community of Massachusetts, and we talked about this very question, you know, how is it that the wealth gap, does it affect our democracy? Is it going to be bad for the economy? And people pretty much agree this is a bad thing to pull apart as a society. So what do we do about it? And I said, now, how many of you, and this is all men of European ancestry, how many of you got, after World War II, a debt-free college education? And two-thirds of them raised their hand.
Sure, the GI Bill.
Not just the GI Bill, but the sort of, even, you know, these were people, not all of them were veterans, but they all benefited from an enormous public investment.
Right.
How many of you got zero interest or low interest home mortgage to help you get on the wealth building train? Two-thirds.
Right.
How many of you think that was a bad investment or a bad idea? Nobody thought it was a bad idea. Well, this was a good example of a wealth broadening initiative that we as a society, and unfortunately it was racially discriminatory. A lot of people of color were not able to get access to the same tools.
Right.
But a lot of people got on the wealth building train, and their children are benefiting, and their grandchildren are benefiting.
But the neocons say, but Chuck Collins of United for a Fair Economy, but Chuck, that's socialism, isn't it? We shouldn't have that. I mean, this is the agenda behind the agenda of these tax cuts. If they can generate a $6 trillion debt that we're having to pay $200-300 billion a year just in debt service on, it's going to bring this government to its knees. And if they can terrify politicians enough that no politician is willing to raise taxes back to what they were just a year or two ago before George Bush's last $1.3 trillion tax cut, which has slammed us into this recession, then the only option that politicians are going to have left, that is future politicians who are picking up the pieces from the disaster that this thing is setting up, is going to be to really slash programs, to do away with things like the GI Bill, to do away with government subsidies for home mortgages in the form of income tax deductions for mortgage payments. I mean, this is welfare for the middle class, the neocons would say.
Well, I think one of the things that's happened is people have bought the tax cut bill of goods because, you know, for 30 years there's been a very well-organized, well-funded conservative movement that has very local state chapters, basically sort of hammering and saying, government waste, privatize this, and vote for this tax cut. But what I think, an interesting thing that's happening, and I hope this goes back to your caller's question, is that people, we all live in states. We all live in localities. Every state in the country now is facing the worst budget deficits since World War II.
As a result of the last tax cut.
Yeah, my kid goes to a public school.
Chuck, we've got about 20 seconds here.
Okay, we just cut 20% out of our school budget, right? So where is this leading to? So I think people are actually starting to wake up to the value of public investment because it's things that we care about are going away.
I agree. Chuck Collins with United for Fair Economy, and that's the website again, Chuck, was...
.org.
Okay, great, thanks. And Chuck Collins, United for a Fair Economy. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Chuck, thanks very much for being on our program. We appreciate it. Bye now.
Hey, folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the May Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you're repainting a room, come in today and buy 2 gallons of Ace Royal Touch eggshell wall and trim paint at $16.99 each and get the third gallon free. Not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of May. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. It's the Tom Hartman Program. We've got 10 folks in our chat room right now, including our good friend Nigel Peacock, who helps run our forums on CompuServe, and he's my partner in crime in that area, and also puts up and runs our bulletin board off tomhartman.com, a message site where people can post messages. I think we've had about 12 or 13,000 messages in there at the moment. And Nigel's in London, England. Hey, Nigel, great to have you on, and hello to everybody else there. We have on the line Billy, the one and only Billy from Capitola, California, on the line about the weird tax laws. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Billy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, if we wanted to find out how fair and equitable this country is, we merely need to look to the tax code.
Yes.
It's thick and it's evil. And let me tell you about one of the evilest things in the tax code.
Okay.
At some point in the next few years, I don't know what year it is, there's a moment in time, one year only, where there will be no tax on inheritance whatsoever.
Right.
None. And then it's
going to die that year.
Taxed again. Well, let me tell you something. What I've learned about America is we're going to lose a lot of grandmas and granddaddies that year. We're going to be spending a lot of money on poison.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, only recently have I realized how really depraved we are and how greedy people are, and I fear for this older generation that people like George who want that money, and, you know, I never realized how truly evil these people were, that some of them, unlike, you know, the great Warren Buffett, they don't want to pay their taxes.
Yeah, Warren Buffett wrote a great op-ed piece. It was in our local newspaper today. I think he wrote it a couple of days ago.
Nightline last night.
Yeah, it was just remarkable. You know, Billy, my sense of it is that what's really going on is that these, and it's like this capital gains dividend tax cut, where they're going to put it into place 15% next year, zero for 2 years, and then it goes back to full.
No, it doesn't.
And the same thing. Yeah, comes back.
Well, that's what the law says. But the fact is that every time we've pretended we were going to sunset something like that.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. That you know, you said there's this one year for people to die. I think that what's really happening is this is the old foot in the door. You know, the camel's nose
that's
under
right.
the edge of the tent, and therefore this $350 billion tax cut. If you extend it out ad infinitum instead of just, you know, the little 2 year trick with the capital gains and the little 9 year trick with the, you know, it really is a multi-trillion-dollar tax
exactly
cut.
That's exactly right.
And it's going to be very destructive. Billy, we're up against the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate your call, Billy, very much, and stay with us. I'll be right back after the news here at the top of the hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. An overwhelming yes vote in the United Nations Security Council today has brought an end to 13 years of sanctions against Iraq. Among those backing the U.S. draft resolution was France, despite its firm public opposition of the war in Iraq. Speaking through an interpreter earlier, France's ambassador to the U.N. said the resolution will serve as a good starting point.
The resolution that we have just adopted is not perfect.
Des améliorations significatives ont été cependant apportées à chaque étape de la négociation.
The resolution lifts most sanctions imposed on Iraq after Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, triggering the first Gulf War. It still, however, forbids Iraq from taking part in the production or purchase of weapons of mass destruction. Also sets out a six-month plan to terminate the oil for food program, and it puts the U.S. and Great Britain in charge of Iraq until a local government is installed sometime in the future. U.S. troops, meanwhile, were forced to return fire earlier today when they came under attack in the Iraqi town of Fallujah. Two Iraqis were killed when the troops were attacked with grenades and rifle fire. President Bush is set to sign legislation now authorizing spending $15 billion over the next 5 years to combat AIDS. In a voice vote earlier, the House gave final approval on that legislation, and the president personally thanked the lawmakers for their speedy vote.
America's a great, strong country. We're also a compassionate country, and I thank the members of the House and the Senate for passing an AIDS bill that will help the people of Africa. Really good piece of legislation, a great piece of work.
Mr. Bush also said he looks forward to signing the measure before he travels to Europe next week. He said he will push the U.S.'s international allies to join efforts to combat AIDS along with famine in Africa. Algerian rescue workers, meanwhile, are still scouring rubble left behind after an earthquake yesterday killed at least 600 people so far. Nearly 5,000 more were also injured. Bodies have been piling up outside hospitals as medical personnel struggle to cope. The government was also forced to send out security forces to fend off looters.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick dissolving tablet. New Allivert, allergy medicine you can take right when you need it. Wherever you are, Allivert, use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
President Bush has formally nominated Joshua Bolton as the new director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. He's one of the president's top policy aides. His nomination must still be confirmed by the Senate, however. Bolton's been a leading force behind the scenes in putting together the administration's economic agenda, which has resulted in rampant unemployment and record deficits. The latest numbers from the Labor Department, meanwhile, show initial applications for unemployment benefits were up 7,000 to 428,000 for the week ending May 17th. The department says tornadoes damaged automotive plants and other businesses in the Midwest, leading to big job losses.
Philip.
Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't tour. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
Outgoing Environmental Protection Agency head Christy Todd Whitman is defending herself today and others in the Bush administration for some of the president's more controversial environmental moves. Whitman told NBC's Today Show the president's reversal of a campaign promise to cut carbon dioxide emissions wasn't necessarily a bad decision. The administration just didn't explain well enough why high emissions are a good thing.
And we didn't lay out well enough what the thinking was. You know, I really believe that the American people think that if you see new circumstances, you can grow in a job, you can make a decision and reverse yourself. It's okay, but you need to explain it to them, and you need to say, this is why I have changed my mind.
The president, of course, also came under intense international criticism for pulling out of the Kyoto Treaty on global warming, but Whitman insists the carbon dioxide and Kyoto controversies hurt the president, quote, unfairly. The former New Jersey governor will leave the EPA by the end of next month. She says she now wants to take some time off and spend it with her family back in her home state. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we don't get our talking points from right-wing think tanks or the RNC, but instead from common sense, or uncommon sense, as we like to call it, from the radical middle. Welcome back to the program. In the last hour, we started the hour by quoting some contemporary Republicans who were suggesting that the MOAB, mother of all bomb response to those liberals who suggest that Dick Cheney knew about 9/11 in advance, and that the way to respond to him is to simply say, well, so did Roosevelt. He knew about Pearl Harbor in advance, and he needed that to get us into the battle against evil in Europe. So if Dick Cheney did that, he's a patriot. Interesting logic. So let's hear, in the context of the tax cut discussion that we were just having with Chuck Collins and with some of our listeners, let's hear from another Republican. We played a little bit of this, I think, the week before last. Dwight Eisenhower, in his farewell speech, his last speech to Americans, a brilliant bit of oratory. And Dwight Eisenhower had this to say about how we should conduct ourselves in the United States when we think about things like taxation policy and what kind of holes we're going to dig, what kind of things we're going to do. Well, I'll let him speak for himself. Here's Dwight D. Eisenhower, former President of the United States.
As we peer into society's future, we, you and I, and our government, must avoid the impulse to live only for today, plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage.
We cannot.
We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow.
We don't want democracy to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow. It is remarkable. And that's the exact strategy that the conservatives are pursuing right at this moment, is borrow and spend. And borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow and spend. And spend without any control. The Pentagon now admits it's lost $8 trillion. That's $1,000 billion. That's $1 million it can't account for. Just gone somewhere. Talk to the military contractors. Well, they don't know where it is. Well, the Pentagon is. It's sort of like Larry, Curly, and Moe. So let's cut taxes. Let's not raise revenues. And let's not cut spending. What we'll do is we'll get things so bad that we'll force the spending cuts or the tax increases to be dealt with by future administrations. We're going to make these things, all of these things run out in 2008, which, of course, is the last year that George Bush can be president if he gets reelected. I don't find that coincidental. I find it disconcerting, frankly. And the best of the news, there is a mini explosion going on in many of the conservative and liberal websites all around the Internet about this Jessica Lynch thing. It starts out, of course, with the dramatic rescue. In fact, to quote NBC, quote, "This story is mission impossible, but it's real. It's uplifting, heroic, compelling, and dramatic." An NBC spokesman told Variety magazine, quote, "You see these things in spy movies and wonder if it's really true. Now we know it's true," end quote. But then the BBC sent a team of reporters over to Iraq to talk to Dr. Harith El Hassana, the doctor who was treating Jessica Lynch, and another doctor, Anmar Uday. And first of all, the Pentagon had said early on that the officials here, I'm quoting from an editorial in the Montpelier Times-Argus, the newspaper for the city of Montpelier here in Vermont. Officials said she continued, Jessica Lynch, firing at the enemy even after suffering several wounds and had seen some soldiers in her unit killed. The public was told Lynch had two broken legs, an injured arm, and multiple gunshot wounds. There was another report that she stabbed somebody and was stabbed also, that there was a stabbing incident. And then, using night vision photography, the rescue team captured its mission on film and made it quickly available to the media. Television viewers soon saw green, grainy images of brave American soldiers retreating one of their own right out from underneath the noses of the enemy. The hospital, the public was told, was defended by fanatically loyal Iraqi troops. But what the BBC heard when they got over there was that the Iraqi army had actually left 3 days earlier when the area had been largely overrun by Americans. They had just turned and run, as they did all over the country. I mean, most of these people really didn't want to be in the army. They were draftees or forcees. And that 2 days earlier, the doctors in this hospital had notified the Americans where Jessica Lynch was and, in fact, tried to drive her to them, and they shot at the car, the American military, and so they turned around and took her back to the hospital. But she was there. There were no guards at all. And this Iraqi doctor, he says, and I quote, this is from the BBC report, they actually went there and interviewed this guy, and he says, "There was no Iraqi military. There were no soldiers at the hospital. It was like a Hollywood film. They," the American Armed Special Forces, "cried, go, 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 with guns and blanks, without bullets, blanks, and the sounds of explosions. They made a show for the American attack on the hospital. Action movies like Sylvester Stallone or Jackie Chan." Well, this aired Sunday on the BBC, this expose of how, just like the carrier landing, the American military is alleged to have staged a made in Iraq production for American television, sort of like the 1998 film Wag the Dog, where the political operatives employ special editing techniques to create phony footage that will engender public sympathy for a manufactured war, to quote Robert Scheer from yesterday's Los Angeles Times. Well, Robert Scheer wrote about this in the LA Times yesterday, and the entire topic is that the Pentagon is refusing to investigate this. The Iraqi guy who claimed that he had put us on to where Lynch was has been spirited over to the United States and has refused all interview requests. However, he has taken a job with former Republican Representative Bob Livingstone in his lobbying firm, which makes sure that this guy's going to make big bucks and represents a defense industry. And he's got a $500,000 book contract with Rupert Murdoch's publishing company, HarperCollins. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, which hyped the Jessica story from day one. So was this a made-for-Fox News TV story? Scheer asks. Well, then the response comes from Hugh Hewitt, for example, on who writes a column he calls The Voice of Reason on WorldNet Daily. And he says, Scheer is throwing around very serious charges because they implicate every member of the Special Forces team involved in the rescue of Private Lynch. Are they liars and actors, as Scheer asserts, or brave, selfless heroes, as I and most other Americans believe? Scheer asks, or Hugh Hewitt asks. And he, you know, he attacks Scheer. He says, can we believe Scheer and the hard left BBC? Or can we believe everyone else? Interesting question. I'm not sure I'd characterize the BBC as hard left, and I'm not sure I would characterize this administration as everyone else, but it's still an interesting question. He says it's a disgusting column. He's written about the sickness at the Los Angeles Times, and he gives the phone number of the chairman of the board of the Tribune Company, owner of the Los Angeles Times, John Madigan, and says call him, and gives the 800 number for the LA Times so that people can call and cancel their subscriptions. And then it ends with, it's a free country. This is an interesting discussion. This is not going to go away, I suspect. And the problem for these folks on both sides is that we have the footage from the American Special Forces, which looks like a daring, heroic rescue, although not a single enemy soldier is seen anywhere in any of that footage. And then on the other side, we've got the BBC and the doctors and nurses at this hospital who can't figure out why they were tied up and why these guys came in shooting blanks and things. And nobody was injured, by the way, in this rescue. There was no firefight, they're saying. And that this was a made-for-TV production. And these are very different stories. So I think everybody, on the right, on the left, in the middle, I think everybody legitimately can say, well, what's going on? Now, here's the third spin that maybe you haven't heard about. I think this is going to be the fallback position. Let's assume for the moment, well, we can take two assumptions. Assumption number one, that it really was a heroic rescue, and the BBC is slandering American Special Forces. One would hope that the Pentagon would conduct an investigation and prove their case. One would hope. They're so far refusing to do that. But if the BBC has slandered the United States, somebody needs to point it out. That's a terrible thing. That is a charge that should not go unchallenged. On the other hand, if this was a made-for-Fox TV special production, then Fox has the problem of, Fox and others on the right have the problem of how to shut up the discussion, because this is going to be very embarrassing to Murdoch, who's given $500,000 to this guy for a book about it, and you've got two TV miniseries coming out about Jessica Lynch and all this. It's going to be very embarrassing. So how do they stop the discussion? Well, on Saturday, I was at this conference of talk radio hosts, and there was a panel discussion. As I recall, 10 or 11 people on the panel, one of them, Mike Malloy from iAmerica Radio Network, was the, quote, liberal on the panel, end quote, and rather startlingly attacked for it. And the rest ranged from rabid right to irrational right. I mean, these were the guys who get on the air and scream about know all the things that they scream about. And somebody raised the question of Jessica Lynch. And four of these guys said, well, what's really going on is that she'd been raped and that we're trying to protect her privacy. And therefore, this should not be discussed. And that's why she's claiming that she can't remember it. because it's embarrassing. And I predict that this will be the rationale that the Fox News right and the folks in the Pentagon and whatnot will use to justify the Pentagon not doing an investigation of this, or any other news agency doing an investigation. Oh, let's just leave the whole situation. And, you know, if this has become such a public thing, if that was the case, if that's really what happened, then that raises issues, and in fact they presented this. This raises issues of women in combat, too. And these are all issues that, in my opinion, deserve public discussion and examination, that we shouldn't just sweep them under the rug because they either might be embarrassing to Fox News or because they might be embarrassing to the BBC. I mean, let's just have an honest and open discussion about it. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. I'll be right back. We're going to get into why are conservatives willing to destroy the environment.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
You've got to love the Bushites' orchestration of Orwellian wordplay when they issue new edicts to gut the public interest. Instead of simply admitting that they're rigging the rules to further enrich their corporate campaign contributors, they use poll-tested phrases to make a negative sound positive, such as balancing environmental excess or modernizing outdated labor laws. These Orwellian phrases always cover up a gotcha. The latest example comes from the FCC, which is supposed to be our watchdog over the public airwaves. But Chairman Michael Powell is the lapdog of the big conglomerates that want to turn our airwaves into their private, for-profit plaything. He's now trying to ram through a rigging of FCC ownership rules that would let this handful of global media giants gain almost total control over mass market news in your city and throughout the country. But rather than admit that this is a giveaway of an essential public asset, our airwaves, Powell plays word games, claiming that he's simply revising the rules of a bygone era. Well, if he means an era in which a diversity of opinions, local news, free-flowing information, and real competition existed on our airwaves, that certainly will be long gone under Powell's revision. For example, he wants to allow a single conglomerate to control the TV programming for 90% of the American people. He also wants to let a single corporation own the newspapers and practically all of the radio and TV stations in any city or in any number of cities. This is not the marketplace at work, as the Bushites claim. It's forced monopolization, and it will destroy any democracy on our airwaves and in our news sources. This power grab is so outrageous that Powell allowed only one perfunctory public hearing on it and plans to ram it through in a rushed-up vote. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight for a democratic media, call the Free Press Media Reform Network, 413-585-1533.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Human beings want to be happy. We have a need not just to live, but to thrive. At the most basic level, we need food and water for sustenance and shelter from the elements. And even though it may not seem like it when you watch television, we all really do want peace in our lives. We want
yes, indeed. We all want peace in our lives. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We have about a dozen folks in our chat room right now. There's a little fewer than that. If you want to find it, it's tomhartman.com on the Internet, and then click on the link to the radio show page, and then click on the link to the chat room, and that takes you into it. It's in the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, which is a forum that Nigel Peacock and I run, and it's some great chat software, and so we're using that for the show. We have so much to cover. By the way, if you'd like to call and be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Why are conservatives willing to destroy the environment? And why is it that liberals seem to care about the environment? It seems like this should be an issue that people on both sides would agree on. I think there have been times in my life when I thought of myself, or I hung out with people who were conservative, and certainly I identified with some of those worldviews, and I always thought that that meant conservation. You know, the Teddy Roosevelt conservatives, the Dwight Eisenhower conservatives, Richard Nixon created the Environmental Protection Agency, of all things. And then there are those, what I would suggest is that these words have been hijacked. They've been totally hijacked. And what we have now is that people, the politicians, not the people. There are individuals out there who call themselves conservatives who still hold to the principles of Dwight Eisenhower that we heard just a few minutes ago on this show. They're not the politicians who are calling themselves conservatives. Those folks, because in large part, and I don't think it's because they're bad people. I think it's in large part because of this 1987 Supreme Court ruling, Boston versus Bilotti, which ruled that because corporations are persons, because of the 1886 Santa Clara County ruling, which was in error, that because corporations are persons like you and me, they therefore have human rights under the Bill of Rights. And included in that is the First Amendment freedom of speech. And as part of freedom of speech, they have the right to give money to politicians. And as a result, we end up with this incredibly corrupt system. And so what's happened is that those people who say, well, we should have freedom from government regulation, this is a code phrase for a large corporation having the right to do anything it wants. Now, they will talk about the small regulations that get in our way and that annoy us, and there's no shortage of them. We can all find stupid laws that shouldn't be on the books. Stupid regulations. Oh, they won't let me burn my trash on Thursday. Whatever. I mean, and there are some folks who say, well, that's a legitimate one. We don't. Those are local arguments. But the forests, for example. The House of Representatives last week okayed, quote, fire thinning of forests, end quote. This is another example of Orwellian newspeak promoted by those who call themselves conservatives, but Dwight Eisenhower would have disowned them. They are, in fact, corporatists. They are the stooges and tools of large corporate interests who pay their bills. The House voted Tuesday to accelerate tree cutting on 20 million acres. Well, the science is in, folks. When you cut down trees in a forest, you don't make that forest more immune to fire. Because brush grows up, and brush grows even faster than trees do. It burns even faster than trees do. The forests that are relatively immune to fire are the old growth forests. Great big huge massive trees that are actually designed to survive fires. There are certain types of pine trees who can't even propagate themselves unless their pine cones experience fire. They survive them. And if you want to thin a forest, truly thin it, you take out every other tree. We own some forest land here in Vermont. We have thinned that land. What it does is it allows the big trees to get bigger. And they're more resistant to fire, and you're less likely to have forest fires. But no, that's not what these folks are talking about. Stay with us. I'll be right back. Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building,
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off at the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tension over a river in the Pacific Northwest ended when cooperation replaced competition. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Battles over water resources are raging in the Northwest and in California. The Columbia, Snake, Klamath, and other rivers don't have enough flow to meet competing demands. Power companies, farmers, cities, and others want a share, and the river ecosystems that support salmon often suffer. But one success story could serve as a model to help resolve these conflicts. Donald Sampson directs the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, which represents Native American tribes in the Northwest.
One of the highlights, most successful basins, has been the Umatilla Basin, where I'm originally from. And it was an effort by the tribes with some of the grassroots local citizens, the farming community, the ranching community, the logging community, to find what we call win-win solutions, in that we had competing demands for water, and we were able to work out solutions where we could share water, providing water for salmon and for irrigation.
Sampson says the 1985 agreement has allowed salmon in the Umatilla Basin to rebound from a population of 1,500 to about 30,000 today. He says cooperation was the key.
What we tried to do is really use that model of cooperation, developing mutually agreeable solutions that are locally based. It's something that needs to apply to the many other 28 watersheds in the upper part of the Columbia Basin. But it also can be exported to work in places like the Klamath River, where there's big issues about the uses of water for agriculture versus the uses of water for fish.
Sampson says these issues can't be solved without some political courage and a lot of cooperation. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
There's a calm before the storm. I know it's been calm.
and for some time the calm before this storm has been coming. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And every Thursday in our second hour of the program, we do a segment where we bring you the news that is underreported, a little bit of what you may definitely not have known that you perhaps should know in our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything You Know Is Wrong.
And is everything we know wrong about the anthrax attacks, about the who is behind this, what's going on, where did this come from, and why is it that a year and a half later that this attack happened on to my senator, Patrick Leahy, who was the head of the Judiciary Committee that was dealing with the Patriot Act bill at the time. And why only the Democrats who are opposed to the Patriot? What's going on? We have in this segment our guest, Bob Petrakis. Bob, welcome to the program. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah, Bob Petrakis. That's the Greek pronunciation.
Great, and you're an investigative reporter and writer for freepress.org,
right.
And you have done some writing about the anthrax attacks and the links to the Carlyle Management Group and Battelle. Can you tell me about this?
Particularly the Battelle Memorial Institute, which is here in Columbus, Ohio. I've been following for years. I'm a doctor in political science. I'm a professor at the local community college.
Great.
And I've been following the Battelle Memorial Institute because they've been involved in a lot of strange activities over time. They were one of the Dirty Dozen research labs with radioactive contamination. But when I had public records and confronted them, they simply denied it. I'm thinking, how can they deny public documents? But the Institute goes well back to the creation of the bomb. And we're heavily
involved. The Manhattan Project,
that.
You mean?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, I found documents a few years ago. They were part of the Manhattan District and were heavily involved in the bomb. Also, I kept turning up documents of links between neo-Nazi activity and Nazi activity. It appears that they brought a whole lot of paperclip Nazis into Central Ohio, into Wright-Patterson.
You mean after World War II?
Yes, foreign technology.
Well, they were being scattered all over the United States. I mean, we made liberal use of the Nazi intelligence apparatus, and perhaps many would say for good reasons. I mean,
with the Cold War. But what I found is that they seem to have put a fair amount at Battelle Memorial Institute, and some over at Wright Pat. So it just piqued my curiosity as to exactly what Battelle Memorial Institute does. It appears to be a contractor for the CIA and for the Pentagon for a lot of top secret projects, among other things.
Right. So, Bob Petrakis, what's the link here with the anthrax scare? Do you really think that this
anthrax. I mean, if you read, even our own government will admit it. The anthrax that we created here in the U.S. was a kind of a trillion spores per gram. Silica impregnated, so it stays in the lungs. Great float qualities, modeled after asbestos, and an AIM strain.
Right.
It was really considered to be, the best anthrax, militarized anthrax in the world. Now,
yes.
The fact is that under treaty, we shouldn't be making this stuff, but there's a loophole which says you can have a small amount, usually about 1 gram, to create vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, 10 grams of our anthrax was sent in the mail to our senators. Again, you're right to point out Democratic senators and our media.
Yes.
So many people have speculated.
The media that was questioning the Patriot Act, by the way.
Yes.
What was called the yellow journalism. Yeah.
I think on some levels it could be construed as the greatest threat to our constitutional form of government. I mean, we had a bioterrorist attack in the U.S. It wasn't al-Qaeda. It surely wasn't Saddam Hussein who did have anthrax, but not the really good stuff, sent to him by Porton Down Labs, as well as other biochemical agents sent under a loophole through the American type culture, a nonprofit.
Yeah, so we all know that this happened here, Bob. What do you have to bring to the table that's new about this? What's your insight or your?
Well, my insight is that I believe, and Zygmunt Brzezinski wrote about this, is at a certain point in the future, only a small group of people will know about what weapons we have in the U.S., and for the good of the country, they'll release them. I think that this is a deliberate release of anthrax by people, either rogue elements or people in our military-industrial complex. And people should not only question what Mr. Hatfield is up to, but how does a guy get access to the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases when, of course, he worked in the white racist Rhodesian armed forces on his own resume?
This is the guy that is protesting his innocence, Stephen Hatfield.
Yeah, and he has well-established ties. He worked in South African clinics. He claims on his resume to have worked for the Special Air Squadron of the white supremacist Rhodesian government and for their paramilitary counterinsurgency force.
Now, Bob, in your article in freepress.org, you mentioned some investigators link the multinational investment firm and defense contractor Carlyle Management Group that was involved in managing the bin Laden family fortune prior to 9/11, former CIA director Frank Carlucci, Rumsfeld's college buddy and wrestling partner Bush the Elder, chief of staff James Baker III, and former president himself are all associated with the Carlyle Group. And then you talk about Project Jefferson. And do you really think that there's a connection here between the Carlyle Group and the anthrax that may have been used to attack the United States Senate when
well,
they were debating the Patriot Act?
Well, there was a fortune made in the first Gulf War between Port and Down and a shadowy character linked to the bin Laden family. And then Mr. El-Hibri, their Lebanese descent, who got a German passport. And Port and Down's lab is in partnership, of course, with Battelle. Battelle's a nonprofit in Bioport in Michigan.
They're in Lansing, Michigan, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, they are. Former
my,
Michigan
my hometown.
Department of Health.
Yep.
And it looks like if you look at who holds stock, people like William Crow, one of the initial things before my sources in the FBI cut me off and refused to speak is that they were really looking at a profit motive. Is that since
for the
anthrax
attacks?
Sure. Or biochemical attacks. For example, it's been pointed out that Ken Alabek, whose real name is Alabekov, who used to run the Soviet offensive biochemical operation, was a consultant at Battelle. And just prior to the attacks that opened up at Hardin Biodiversity, his own for-profit enterprise. And one of the quotes that I had run across saying is that, look, there's always going to be a business for this because there's many agents out there that we can be attacked with.
Yeah, but Bob Fetrakis, freepress.org, isn't this a little bit like the folks who claim that that Norton antivirus people are behind the viruses, or not to pick on Norton, I mean generic, that the antivirus industry are releasing viruses so that they can sell as cures,
the FBI itself said they were looking at the profit motive. They also had another angle, which this was somebody trying to warn us of the dangers. I don't know how you can separate war profiteering from human history. People have always made money off war. Not only that, is that William Patrick III, who also was a Battelle consultant, they had done a study on the flow properties and sending anthrax to the mail, and they had determined that it was a minimal risk.
Let's wrap this up here, Bob.
Yes.
The point?
Oh, the point is that, sure, there could be people who could make a ton of money off a scare. I mean, Port and Downs did it. El-Hibri did it. They already did
and
it
they
during
still
the
are.
Last Gulf War with anthrax. Is that when people are scared, they'll go out and buy anything, duct tape and plastic to protect themselves against highly militarized anthrax.
Great. Thank you. Bob Fetrakis, freepress.org. Is there a website where people can find your writings?
Freepress.org. They might want to go put in Columbus Alive. Most of my
Columbus
writings on Battelle are on Columbus Live, but freepress.org has some as well. And also there's a book out called Spooks, Nukes, and Nazis, which deals primarily with Ohio and its longstanding ties to Battelle and biochemical warfare.
Great. Bob Petrakis, thank you very much for being on the program. I appreciate it. Thank you today for being on our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync.
You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Yeah, and maybe it is. Or maybe it's not. Who knows? Double taxation is the big shtick, that is being used to promote the elimination of the tax on dividends, on corporate profits that are paid out to stockholders. I read some months ago a little anecdotal thing. As I recall, it was in the Wall Street Journal, where they said that George W. Bush had been sitting in on a speech that was being given by the head of one of these investment firms, Charles Schwab, I think it was, wherein Schwab said, you know, gee, the stock market sure would get a heck of a lot better if people didn't have to pay taxes on dividends. And Bush went off on this tangent. Wherever this came from, I don't know if this is an apocryphal story or not, the argument is it's double taxation. The corporation paid taxes on their income, and then they distribute it to you and me if we're stockholders, and then we have to pay income tax on it. That's being taxed twice. If they really and truly are opposed to double taxation, I receive a paycheck, and that paycheck funds me, and then I go down to the store and I buy something and I have to pay sales tax. Isn't that double taxation? We just can't pick and choose like this. It doesn't work. If somebody is earning their living by sitting on their butt and receiving dividend checks because they have been fortunate enough, blessed enough, lucky enough, or whatever, to have large investments, or to have inherited enormous wealth, in my opinion, they should be carrying their load just like I do and just like you do in this great nation of ours, paying part of the overhead, the infrastructure of democracy. Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania, has a comment about what to do to stick up for liberals. Okay, Rob, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you, Rob?
I'm feeling weird.
I
just came from the gym where I work out to relax usually.
Mm-hmm.
And there I am in a locker room just finishing up getting dressed, and these two other guys walk in, late 50s, early 60s. They start talking about liberals.
Mm-hmm.
They're tax and spend. That's all they want to do. That's all they know. And they start sounding like real Limbaugh, Hannity, ditto heads.
Yeah.
And I just kept my mouth shut because I don't need to get into that with them. Then they start saying, well, you know, they're all a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gritting my teeth. You know, what do I say to these guys?
And you're asking
me?
And
they keep going, and they say it again. And I finally walk up to them, and I say, you know, because they started talking about how they're all looking for money from the tit. They all want to give everything away. They want to give away Medicare drugs to everybody. They want to give away free health care. They're all a-holes. And
Show, Rob.
Huh?
This is a family show. But isn't that true those who identify themselves as liberals want to give away free medical care to people? I mean, most of the Democratic candidates are suggesting that.
That I didn't have a problem with. It's when they started calling names. It was when I went up to them, you know, this is a public locker. I'm a liberal. I don't take money. I'm not on welfare. You know, it's an expensive club, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But and you know what their reply was? You're a liberal, then you're an a-hole too.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm just be a little more civil, and they come back to me like that. Now let me tell you, I'm bigger than both of them, and I work out pretty regular. I'm in good shape. I mean. But, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, that the level of civility is getting that bad. And I guess what I wanted to rant about is that when you listen to the right-wing hate talk from Limbaugh and Hannity, their invective is getting worse and worse and meaner and meaner.
And Michael Savage has raised it to an art form.
Yeah, like Caligula.
Yeah. And you know, that's life. I mean, welcome to America. We have this thing called freedom of speech, and there is a marketplace of ideas out there, and there clearly is a market for those ideas. There are people who want to listen to those things. Rob, I appreciate your call. Thank you for your comments. And that's one of the things that I think is in many ways marvelous about the United States. On the other hand, I think that there is something to be worried about when corporations begin promoting that kind of speech. And certainly there has been corporate promotion of those sorts of things, the corporate promotion of the anti-Dixie Chicks programs and things like that. But I think there's an old saying, success is the best revenge. I really believe that's the direction we have to go. In fact, there was a great quote. Somebody in our chat room, if you go to tomhartman.com and click on the radio show and then click on the chat room, you'll find a whole bunch of folks in there. And somebody had this great quote. I'm looking. I guess it's scrolled off the board. Oh, well. Anyway, about just that. Maybe we'll get back to that after this break. The Grizzlies are losing out under the Bush mining plan. The Bush administration has just decided... they've got these grizzly bears, and this was actually, they brought some of these down from Canada to grizzly bears down from Canada so that they could breed with the local grizzly bears and maintain them. This is a little colony of bears. It's like fewer than 100 of them on thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres of land, and they're part of our wilderness. And a major campaign contributing mining corporation said, well, we want to go in there and mine, and historically we had protected this wilderness area and its grizzly bears. But now we're going to allow them to put a silver and copper mine underneath the Cabinet Mountain Wilderness. And this is going to be a major challenge for these bears. Now, should we worry about the bears or should we worry about the profit of the mining companies? Which is more important? I'm wondering what you think. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster!
The tree house. These are the 12 planks of wood Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed. And this is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Because after he built the house...
what about the curtains?
Jack had to decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
To the vast conspiracy of America's radical middle. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. In our chat room, one of our folks, Pocomo Pete in New Jersey, said, regarding Rob's call, the ultra-right have been emboldened to quash any opposition or opposing thought speech, and such invective must be met equally. I hate to say it, but verbal violence must be an option. Smoking Potato then says, I disagree. If you really talk to them, you will find something in common with them. Then you can start from there to understand each other's views. That doesn't mean you need to get plowed over by them, however. And then Diane Key, however the screen name is there, says, clobber them with facts. And there seems to be a consensus about that. Interesting conversation. We have Tony in Virginia on the telephone. Tony, we've just got a minute or two left here. What's up?
Hey, Tom, I just saw on Yahoo News that General Tommy Franks is retiring.
Oh, my goodness. They're dropping like flies, aren't they, Tony?
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner, the way I've seen Rumsfeld throw these guys to the wolves anytime things are going a little bit wrong.
Yeah, they're experts at finding scapegoats, and Tommy Franks has recently been one of those scapegoats.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see some CIA people, too.
Yeah. Any? Was there anything in the story about why he's leaving?
No mention at all. So I guess we'll have to wait for all the rumors to come out.
No doubt to spend more time with his family.
Yeah.
As Christy Todd Whitman.
Well, hopefully it's nothing personal, but.
Yeah. The dissonance of this was something that was always almost painful for me to watch when Colin Powell would get up and you could always tell when he was about to say something that he knew was not truthful, when he was contradicting himself. He would always twitch a little bit. His eyes would look down and to the right, to his right, to the right on the screen, down to his left, and he would pause his words. He would just sort of almost stutter a little bit. And then he would say, and we know they have weapons of mass destruction. It was painful to watch this guy, who's I think, an honorable military man, or an honorable man in the context of the military. I don't know about when he became a major stockholder and director of AOL Corporation, and his son is now deregulating that and all that. But in any case, it was tough to watch, and Tommy Franks is probably equally agonizing. Tony, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Thanks for dropping by our radio home. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow at same time, same place. Thank you for joining us, and keep the faith. We'll talk to you soon.
listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.